Today's the day that we've come to the house of the Lord to be with our family. Look to your left and look to your right. This is your family. Amen. It's a good day. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm in awe at the majesty of who you are. Know how your week was or your morning is or your last year but sometimes you know we have lots of joy and happiness, and then sometimes we have just a lot of sadness and, you know, just fears, anxieties, whatever it, regardless of what truths you know, it still consumes you and you feel it through your bones, you know. And I was thinking about that this morning. I'm tired. And I'm just like, I don't got it. I don't have anything to give this morning. But regardless of how you feel, we still can give that praise. He doesn't care how you come. He doesn't care if you're tired or you're stressed or you're sad or you're happy or you're mad, whatever. He's just glad that you're coming and that you're offering your praises and your thanks to Him. He don't care what it looks like. He's just glad that you love Him. And He loves us so much back. He's got so much grace and mercy for you and peace that He can give you. So that's what we're here for this morning. Let's just praise Him.
Courage again.
Nothing you can't take care of. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus, there are no words. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
Good morning. Today must be Missions Day. Most of our members are out in the field spreading the good news and being positive, and that's exciting. I'm just glad the message is taking hold, Ralph. So, if our ushers will be preparing to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, this is the last Sunday of the month, and that's the Sunday that we emphasize bringing our alms into the house, and this church does a lot to help people in the church and in our community, so be attentive to that, and give as much as you can. Just a couple of announcements. Just refer to your bulletin for a lot of the stuff that's going on. But next Sunday is the cookout. I knew there's a couple of first-time visitors here today. If you're here next Sunday, just come in your shorts or your comfortable clothes. After the service, we dismiss here and go out to the pavilion. I think we're having chicken and beans. And the meal is free. Got horse riding, bingo, activities for the children. So just feel free to come to that and enjoy some fellowship. When you leave the building, how many noticed that we painted the building this week? Ralph did, because he was here watching the painters. But we built this building in 1986, I think it was, somewhere in there. And it's not been painted, and it really needed it. It looks better. Just trying to make the campus look good. So thanks for your giving, and you know, we got to pay for that project, and it's just helping us look good here. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, all the monies and the blessings that came into the families this week, we're thankful for that, Lord. Everything that we have is because you gave it to us. You give us the abilities. But Lord, you just open doors of opportunity. And even this morning, just I've had testimony of how people are just being obedient and just being overtaken by your many blessings. So Lord, as we bring these tithes and offerings into the house, Lord, we present them as an act of worship. We honor you with them. And Lord, I just pray that for every person that's given today, that your blessings will just be opened up to them, that they'll just be overtaken by your blessings. Lord, you're so good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for just taking care of us in every way. In Jesus' name.
Keith said it was fine, and he said it would be a great honor. So I have Chelsea could come, Thompson, to come and sing for us today. Amen. Right before we bring the word. Amen. Now I want you to loose yourself up. Amen. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Chelsea, I want you to come, sweetheart, and obey the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much.
I just want to say what an amazing band we have. And if y'all did not jam out to that last song, woo, y'all weren't here. I love this song. I was going to learn a new one, but, you know, life, we get busy. And anyways, it ended up being perfect. First of all, I just want to say that it's on my heart to let everyone know, don't forget you're human. And I feel like we kind of, we get stressed out and we might say something rude to somebody that we love, and then we'll think about it. That was just, you know, so it was not me, you know, it wasn't you when you did say something rude to them. And most of the time, we say things like that because we have fear. We have fear that we're stressed about our life and we're not going to be able to do it the way we wanted to do it. We have to please these people, please those people. All I can say is, you got this because he's got you. At the end of the day, he's got you. So you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be worried. Everything's going to happen the way it should happen. So, thank you for having me back today. My God. They break my heart.
Thank you so much, Joseph. Thank you. Beautiful. Joey, let's put it down. Yeah, I'll stay down. Okay, go with. No, I can't. That's it, man. The last time I got that high up, I think I got a nosebleed, so I want to stay down here in the bright lights, amen. And they just as bright up there as they are down here. Well, the Lord is good, amen. Amen. Chelsea, thank you so much for that beautiful song. That's what you need to say to your soul every day. Arise, O soul. Arise. Arise. Remember what we shared in the School of Positive Thinking? Whatever you say, you lay tracks to. Amen. And that's what you need to lay tracks every day to your soul. We're not going to be long today. We're going to be very short because I think we're going to Sister Goss's house to eat lunch today. And now, this is not a surprise to her because I tell her this every time Sunday when she's here. I'm going to come by your house to eat lunch today. It is good. Miss Lynn Pearl, tell us again your friend's name. Your pastor's from Milledgeville, Georgia. Jeff Simmons. All right, Jeff, it's an honor to have you this morning. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Amen. Bless your work in Milledgeville. I know all about Milledgeville. Ah. For what reason I know well, the early, I cut my IT preaching down in Milledgeville. Back in 71, 72, all them years down through there. And brother, I will be praying for you. Amen. Oh, the Lord is good. I know Pastor Buren and them, you know, they're on vacation. And when the cat's away, all the mice will play. So they're everybody else out too. Monday, I was going to send him a text to enjoy himself and have fun. And then I stopped and said, what am I doing? This is redundant. This is what our friends in Africa said. This is just grandma. To tell Buren to have fun and enjoy himself is like telling a starving person, taking them to Golden Corral, help yourself. They're going to eat. But I want to share something this morning. I've never shared it. I shared it in just passing several times. But seriously, we're not going to be long this morning. I want to talk to you about never take negatives personal. And you will neutralize it. Never take negatives personal. If you don't take them personal, you'll neutralize them. Now this is backs up and support what quantum physics says. Quantum physics says nothing is actually real until you acknowledge it being real to you. See, everything in the universe is energy, including us. We're energy beings. So when you take it personal, it has an effect on you. It has an effect on you. See, your life does not get better by chances. Your life does not get better by chances. Your life gets better by the right choices you make. So life will get better by the choices you make. So you can choose to take it personal or choose not to take it personal. Will it sting? Now remember, only death has sting. And life and death is in the power of the tongue. But if you do not take it personal, you'll neutralize it and it'll have no sting. Only when you take it personal. That sting is just reminding you by the Spirit. You just took something personal. You shouldn't have took it. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. So again, nothing is real until you acknowledge its realness. If it's real to you, it's real. But if it's not real to you, it's nothing. Yeah, but they meant it. Don't matter whether they meant it or not. I'm gonna give you scripture on this in a minute. It doesn't matter whether someone purposely dial your number or personally come see you or personally just want to chew you out. That's their problem, not yours. Until you take it personal. Well, what they said, it was truth according to them. It's truth according to them. See, quit buying into other people's suggestions to you. The power of suggestion. They tell you it's real. Well, I guess it's real. No, it's not. If you say it's not. They believe it is. Had nothing to do with you, what they believe. Has everything to do with you, what you believe. What you believe. You see. Now, I want to use Paul this morning as an example. When Paul, and you'll find all this whole story in Acts 27 and 28. But I've done this over the years. I've asked several people, do they know, could they give me an idea what Paul's destiny, you know, that was a big thing back about 10 years ago. What's your destiny? What's your destiny? Well, I'm doing my destiny. I'm on a journey of destiny. And I believe all that. That's true. But what was Paul's destiny? Most folks will tell you, especially evangelicals in the Bible Belt, will tell you Paul's destiny was to write the Bible. After all, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And that was his destiny. And I want to let you know, that wasn't his destiny. That was not Paul's destiny. Paul only had one destiny. And that was, had to go to Caesar. The only directive that Paul received from Spirit was from Jesus in the prison. And I want to show you something. How many wants to go nugget? Three times God had to appear, an angel appeared, Jesus appeared to Paul to remind him three different times, fear not. Fear not. So if he has to appear to you 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that's okay. Don't fear. Fear is a spirit that has torment because it has a sting. It's a sting. And only when you take it personal. So Paul just happened to write the Bible on the way to destiny. But how many wants to go nugget? Paul didn't know he was writing the Bible. Paul was writing a letter to his friend Ron, to his friend Ken, Keith. Oh, and his special letter, Galatians. He wrote that to Miss Penny. And what happened over the years, they took the letters and passed them around so everybody could read them. The letters he wrote to his friends, encouragement. It was 100 years later before they became into the canon and became what we know as today as his epistles. So Paul never thought, I'm writing the Bible. I just want to send Ken an encouragement, a note here, encouragement. I just want to send Brother Billy here an encouraging word. That's what Paul was doing. Now the question, shouldn't we be doing the same thing? Shouldn't I be encouraging, edifying, building up everybody? Wouldn't that be the same what Paul did and 100 years later became his epistles? That's why Paul said, I am a living epistle written by the hand of God, read by all men. That's your testimony. But his destiny was to go to Rome. And there was only one way to get to Rome because Caesar wasn't accepting no friends. He's got to get arrested. He's got to not only get arrested, he's going to be set free twice and choose not to be set free. And kept appealing till he got to Caesar. Now, there's a different mindset of today in Paul's. Today, if we got the jury to set us free or the judge to set us free, we would come back and testify. I'd try to tell them I wasn't guilty, but God! So they said, Paul, you're free. He said, I'm sorry, boys. I'm just going to go ahead and put me back in chains. I'm going to Caesar. Why? Because Paul knew that was his destiny. And he had to do that. Now, in the evangelical world, you have to love them. We've been conditioned to believe your destiny is for you to get to heaven. So we got millions of Christians that had no idea what their destiny is just to get to heaven. We wrote songs about it. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will then sing and shout victory. Why ain't you already doing it? You ain't got to wait till you get there to do it. But that's how we've been conditioned to think. Now, it's very interesting when you begin to read the life of Paul and study his life and his journeys. Three times an angel had to appear to Paul and said, "Fear not, Paul." One time had even to tell him in the boat in the storm. Acts 27. I remember 30 years ago, Francis and I was up at World Changers and I was preaching a message at World Changers. Three men in a boat, three men in a storm, and three men in a boat in the storm. And you have the first man in the storm, in the boat, in the storm, out of the will of God. His name was Jonah. Man of God, in the storm, in the boat. Second man was Paul, in a storm, in a boat, in a storm, was doing the will of God. And the third man is Jesus, in the storm, in the boat, was the will of God. Conclusion story, you ain't going to get by the storm. The storms are coming, but it's all how you look at it. It's all how you view it. There is no getting away from it. But it's how you ride it out. First man in the boat in the storm was overcame by the storm. Second man in the boat in the will of God endured the storm. The third man was the will of God. And he quietened things down. Oh, that's important if you know that. How many remember the story when Jesus walked to the bow of the boat and said, "Peace, be still"? Now, let me ask you a question. Was he talking to the storm, the water, or talking to the disciples, which happened to make up 83% water? See, their waters was disturbed. That's when you, see, when you take things personal, your spirit, your soul gets disturbed. That's your waters. That's your waters. You've got to learn how to calm your waters. Now, Brother Joey and Sister Kitty just got back from San Francisco. And I did see pictures with flowers in their hair. You've got to be 55 and older to understand that. I sent Joey a message the other day in San Francisco. I said, "Joey, I'll thank you for your pictures, the sunrise, the beaches, and all them dishes you was eating. You're showing us the hand of God. You're showing us how God paints a picture. Now I can't wait to get with you and hear now what God has whispered to you." So I'm going to recommend everybody in this church, if your waters are disturbed, set a time to get with Joey Grubbs. And I'm not going to embarrass by him, stand up and take a bow. But get with him. Because he's got information that if you will listen to and obey, will calm your waters. Will calm your waters. Now, Paul's destiny. Now, the angel in the storm, in the boat, reminded Paul of his destiny. And when Paul related it back to the people later, he said, "For an angel of God has appeared to me this night, stood by me, whose I am and whom I serve, saying to me, fear not, Paul." Have you forgot? You got to go to Rome. You know, there was no problem remembering that until this boat got in the hurricane. I guess through the hurricane and us 15 days not seeing the sun and being tossed to and fro, I guess I forgot about my destiny. Angel just brought him right back to it. Keith Wesley. Fear not. An angel of God will say to Keith, "Fear not. You're with me. You're the I am of God. How can you kill God? How can you drown God? Now this is important stuff this morning. And please believe me, I've been to churches when, dear God, they swing from the chandeliers and get about a fifth of what's said. And I'd rather you sit here and zip it in here and receive about 80% of what's being said. So get it. This can save your life. This can save your mainly your sanity. How many wants a gold nut? Gold nugget. Your mind is your sanity. Your sanity is your life. Now, on this journey, for Paul to go to Rome, to go before Caesar, he had to go as a prisoner. And that was a choice. His choice. Now, hold on to your halos. To get to destiny, he had to change three ships three times. Three different ships. And they changed, those three ships changed directions five times. So it's never a straight shot there. So when a man of God or a preacher, Pastor Buren, or somebody, or we come up and say, okay, I hear God saying, let's go this way. Okay. Well, now let's go this way. I thought you said God said go that way. Well, he did. But he can't say go that way and go that way. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Because, see, you want to live and walk as a barefoot priest, where your heart becomes so sensitive to the wooing of the Spirit that it can take precedent over everything you've got. So you're going to change ships. You're going to change directions. Well, my mama was in this church. My granddad was in this church. Bless God, I guess I'd be right. And stay in the same old ship. By now, ain't going nowhere. Now, if you get in a ship going nowhere, take a wild guess where you're going. You ever heard of a bridge leading nowhere? Where are you going? See, allow a church, allow Eagle's Way to be something different than, well, we're going to church on Sunday morning. Find out the mission of this church. Pastor Buren is talking about the big going to the area of positiveness. Well, get on board. Nobody rides free. Nobody rides free. If you're going to be positive and you're in a church that's going to be positive, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to get rid of your cargo. If not now, but when the storm hit, you will. So all this, I'm not going to get tied up in the exegeting of this chapter here, because I'm trying to get to one point here. You got to change direction. Now, this chapter, first of all, I want to say, the Bible to me in the last 10 years has no longer been a history book. It's been a book of metaphors, of principles to live by. And I find it very interesting here, as a principle to live by, that the boat, the journey, got caught in a hurricane, or a euroculan, what it says in the King James Version, putting in Spalding County, a what? Hurricane. High winds. And Paul talked about how we tried to break from that. We tried to get out of that, but we couldn't. See, you're going to find yourself sometime in some high winds. You're going to find yourself sometime in some situations you're going to try to get out of, but just can't get out of it. It's going to keep you. How many remember that old Al Pacino movie, Godfather 3? Al Pacino statement. Michael Corleone. When I think I'm out, they pull me right back in. By the time I think I got victory over this, it comes back again. Yep. I mean, no, that's fulfilling scripture. Because Paul told Timothy, when the commandments of God comes to me, sin revives itself. That's why it took Paul 20 years to die to himself. 20 years of dying to himself. Oh, Lord, I ain't got 20 years. All probability, you got me right. The quantum physics says nothing is real until you say it's real. If it's real to you, I won't last another 20 years, then you won't. But this is the point I want to get to. When the vault got caught up in the Euroclin, they could not steer it no longer. Paul said, we let the ropes go and let it dry. We just committed it to the wind. And when it did, it hit some reefs, some rocks, and tore the ship up. Now, this is one of my favorite. I just love this part here. This ain't what I'm talking about at this point. And the guards got together. Now, remember, Paul's a prisoner. And they got guards over him. So the guards conspire together and say, listen, let's just kill all the prisoners because we don't want any to escape. Good devotion that morning. But the captain of the boat, whom had become a convert to Paul, said, no. And I could just see him looking at Paul and say, what do you think, Paul? Well, I'm going to say everyone. Because see, the angel told him, Paul, fear not, you must go before Caesar. And God has given you all the prisoners to you. Given them to me? I'm in chains. Yep. Paul said, so I'm going to tell you, being that all have been given to me, all you that can swim, jump in. And that, yep. And you that can't swim, grab a board. We're going to go a little surfing. Early days of Beach Boys there. Now, I don't care. That just doesn't make sense. The boat is tearing up, and the word to you is, Ron, calm down. Don't worry about swimming. You can't swim in that anyway. Just grab a board and float to the shore. And every one of them was saved. Now remember, oh my God, I'm trying not to run no rabbits here this morning. But because the angel told Paul, every one of them is given to you, you have authority over to their safety. Tell them. When last time you've spoken to the heavens over your family, you will be saved. Well, I feel like I got to tell them. No, you ain't got to tell them. They've been given to your charge. How many wants a gold nugget? Paul didn't pray. He's already prayed. He's already prayed. Already got the word. So he said, so now, being that all you guys has been given to my hand, including the guards, if you can swim, jump in. I could see one or two of them say, Paul, I can't swim. All right, grab a board. Because we all going to get washed up on an island. Because he said, how need be, I must be on that island. And because I need to be on that island, and none of you going to drown, you going with me. So they get on this island. And when they get to the island, the islanders has already built a fire so they can warm by. And Paul's out gathering sticks, a bundle of sticks, to put on the fire. And the Bible said, and a viper came out of the heat of the fire and latched itself on Paul's hand. Now, this is the crux of my story to you this morning to help you. When you don't take anything personal, you neutralize it. That viper, that snake, hanging on Paul's hand, Paul did not take it personal. Paul never took it as the snake is picking on me. The snake is doing what the snake does. And never take it personal. And when Paul shook it off as though it meant no harm, he's bringing the mind into it now. I got to go to Rome. I can't go see Caesar with you hanging on me. Because he did not take it personal. Are you ready for this? It neutralized all the poison that the viper put in his bloodstream. Now, we have an expert here on animals. I don't know about vipers and rattlesnakes and moccasins. But any poisonous snake, once they bite you, they don't think, I think now I'll release the poison. It comes with the biting. Does it not, Ken? The moment that rattlesnake, water moccasin, viper, the moment they stick their veins in anything, it automatically, according to their instinct, they releases the venom. That's why a poisonous snake, such as a rattlesnake or moccasin, cannot bite their meal. They can't bite the rabbit. They can't bite the... If they bit it and ate it, they poison themselves. That's why they had to catch it alive, eat it alive, swallow it whole. They cannot bite it. So when Miss Lila May got something to tell you, and you know she's full of venom, shake it off. But she's just going to make her mad. Don't matter. See, the moment that poison entered into Paul's bloodstream, when he did not take it personal, it neutralized it. Oh my God, you should be swinging from chandeliers right now. The only reason that poison can hurt you is when you scream. See, most of us go through life playing the old Charlie Brown song. Why is everything always picking on me? Why is everybody always picking on me? Why are they pulling me out? See, because you take it personal. But it hurt. They meant to hurt me. Can't hurt you. You say it hurt you. It hurts you because you take it personal. You can't take it personal. Paul shook it off. He shook it off as though it meant no harm. He didn't say it didn't hurt him. He just said it's not going to hurt me. Why? Because I have somewhere I got to go and something I got to do. So this can't stop me. This can't stop me. You know how many people have prophesied the doom of America in the last 50 years? And still doing it today? But thank God there's some of us that don't believe it. So thereby we don't take it personal, so therefore it does not affect us. See, there's more to you than you see. Now, I keep coming back to this because I'm ringing someone's bell here. Yeah, but you just don't know what they said. It don't matter what they said. It don't matter what they said. You determine whether it's truth or not. That determines then whether you're going to take it personal or not. That's going to determine the poison that the other person released into your system is going to take its toll on you or not. Did someone say, I think you ugly? You may be to some. But there's some you might be a cutie pie on. Focus on those that think you're a cutie pie, not those that think you're ugly. There are some people that would rank me in the order of there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and there's Michael, then there's Gable, then there's Ralph. But as Randy Travis said, but on the other hand, there's those that see the devil, Beelzebub, Lucifer, and Ralph. Which one is right? The one I choose to be right. Which one I listen to? One I listen to. I'm no longer be persuaded by other people's opinion. Because, see, remember, people that are negative are poisonous. They only have two energies in the universe, positive and negative. I had those snake nipping me yesterday. Me and Francis got home and got in the mailbox. Big old letter. Big blow, where'd it come from? Internal Revenue Service. I got to maintain my joy. Here, Francis, open this. And my next thing in my mind was, I wonder what they want. Francis opened the letter, looked at it, read it, and a big old grin come across their face. They saying they owe me and you $500 more. Yeah. Internal Revenue sending you letters saying you owe you $500 more. Then it went from what do they want to, thank you, Jesus. That's how fast energy is. Speed of light, speed of lightning, that's it. That's the energy we in. But don't take things personal. Don't take things personal. Especially if it stings you. Believe me, Paul was flesh and blood, just like I am, like Brother Terry is, like David is. And when that viper latched onto him, it stung him. He knew it was there. Now, but he happened to be in church when the snake bit him. And those that standing around saw it. And they said, Karma is something when she comes back. They said the God would not let him live because though he escaped the sea, it got him. Really? And they kept looking at Paul and said, and when he should have swollen, when he should have been grasping for breath, when he should have got all upset and emotional and started crying, y'all pray for me. He didn't. See, Paul didn't even ask those who were with him. He just saved their lives to even pray for him. He didn't need them to pray for him. He's going to destiny. I'm going to destiny. I don't take it personal, so it don't bother me. And when he should have swollen, when he should have been gasping for breath, when he should have died, he didn't. And then it says, and they changed their mind about him and called him a God, an Elohim, creator, or called him I Am. That's how you prove that you are an I Am of God. By not taking things personal. Now let me close with this. Help me out with a saying here. Liars lie. Amen? Cheaters do what? Negative people are? Non-loving people are? So why would you listen to them? Dogs do what? Bark. What does cats do? Meow. What do snakes do? Bite. Jesus even called the people that were around him one time, old generation of vipers. Why? Because they're always snapping at him, trying to bite him, trying to get him off course, trying to make him believe. Even on the cross, they tried to make him doubt. He never took it personal. But mind your sake, we better be glad he didn't take it personal. Thank God. I'm just saying this in close. I thank God Jesus didn't hang on the cross and said, okay, boys, yours are coming. You just wait. Now, but you got to understand, he heard what the chief priest said to him on the cross. And he knew the ramification of what they were saying. They said, let this man's blood be on us and our children. Ooh, you don't know what you say. You don't know what you're laying tracks to. You don't know what you're laying tracks to. You don't know what you're saying. The Jews still being persecuted. The Hitlers, the Muslims, everything. Still part of what they said at that cross. Let this man's blood be on us. Yeah, let the guilt of that be on us. Oh, they didn't mean it. Well, it's been following around for 2,000 years. So that now it cannot be broke, reversed over them collectively as a group. It's got to be now individually. It's got to be broke and reversed. But I want to say to you this morning, and I'm closing right now, it's 8 after. If we hurry up and leave and don't spend too much time talking, we can beat the Baptists and Methodists out. But quit taking things personal. Had a neighbor come to me. I had a man come to me the other day, and he said this word to me. He said, I want to apologize to you and Francis. I've been acting a certain way for the last year. And I know that I ain't been acting right. So I told Francis, I said, I don't care what. I don't care if he don't wait back. I pull in and see him. That's his problem, it ain't mine. And if he come tell me what the problem is, I'm going to tell him this, your problem ain't mine. So he come to me and he said this to me. He said, I am so sorry. I have been a major ass in the last year. Oh, no, you haven't. Not what I said. I said, I've been dealing with people. As coaching, I deal with people's character and behavior. You've had a behavioral issue for the last year, Ron, but not a character issue. The character, you guys, is what brings you here today and say sorry to Francis and me. So there's nothing wrong with your character. You just got a behavioral problem. Change the behavior. Keep your character intact. And you know what it all came down to? I assumed. Now don't ever back. I know Francis said, now don't talk about me this morning. And I'm not talking about Francis. But about 2 weeks ago, she said this, and this is the clean New International Version. Enough of this stuff is enough. I'm going to go over there and see him and ask him, what is your problem? She went over there. What is your problem? I ain't got no problem. Oh, yes, you do. You got a major problem. He looked at her and he said, you really want to know what it is? I certainly do. Well, I'm over here. Took her in the backyard. And he pointed to a 3-foot piece of chicken wire that we put up over our rock, over the dry creek bed that would let the water through but keep the trash out. She said, that is what's bothering you. That is what's eating you alive. She said, well, just consider it as a right now gone. No, you ain't got to take it down. Oh, yes, I do. She went in there and got a claw hammer, come back out there. I guess he probably thought, now she's going to hit me with that hammer. Walked over there, honed that claw hammer into that fence, jerked it up. She said, now, big boy, your problem is taken care of. See, Francis has been hearing me teach. Well, I heard her teach. Me, give up your need to be right. Give up your need to have an opinion. Well, I'm right. You may be. So what if you win a battle but lose a war? What advantage is that? And so I went over to see him. Wild Lena, than you are. I knew she was going to do it. I know her. I learned from her. She's my mentor. And I knew what she would do. For the first time in 20 years, he's fixing up his yard. He said, I'd like to put down some rock over there, like y'all's yard. I like to get rock. I said, okay, I'm calling American Stone. Got an account up there. Take that old truck of mine. Go up there and get all you want. Charge to me. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. All you got to do is get in that truck, go up American Stone, see the guy named Terry, tell him this is on Ralph's account. That's all you got to do. And he did. Francis went and got it. Brought it back to the house, backed it down our driveway, and got a wheelbarrow and a shovel and unloaded a scoop and a half of rock and put it where he wanted. That's how you handle when people mean to you. Overcome goodness, evil with goodness. And don't take what they do personal. Only take what you do is personal. And what I'm doing personally is bless them that curse you. Ken, there's no saying down in South Georgia. I know you and Margaret are very familiar with it. Nothing make good neighbors like high fences. So we didn't have to build a high fence. Francis just went back and snatched up a piece of wire. Now, it's 11:14. I want you to bow your head. How many of you need to neutralize the poison that's been spoken to you or put into your system? Amen. Amen. How many take things personal, and when you do, it's full of poison? But to neutralize that poison is not to take it personal and overcome evil with good. So if anyone has hurt you, but they meant, it don't matter what they meant or not. Again, it ain't real till you say it's real. I want you to raise your hand, and you that didn't raise your hand but should have raised your hand but didn't. Stand where you're at. Never ever take anything personal. They mean it. That's what bad people do. They mean it. They mean for it to hurt you. They are banking on that you're going to take it personal. They're hoping you take it personal. They're even praying you take it personal because, after all, I'm just letting them know, God, how you feel. Don't take that stuff personal. And it'll never have an effect on you. But it will neutralize the poison that's come into your system from words. Life and death is in the power of the speech. So you overcome the negative poison they try to get you to swallow by you start swallowing a bunch of positives. But I can't say nothing good about them. Then make it up. Yes, you can. Speak those things that are not as though they are. You've been a good student, my man. You listen well, Grasshopper.
Thank you.
Then you call those things to be not as though they are. That's all. That's what the Creator does. See, when you don't take it personal, you have easy now to forgive them. In closing, I think that's what Jesus did on the cross, was it not? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Listen, he's talking about the Roman soldiers who crucified up to 5,000 to 7,000 people a week. They're professional crucifiers. But Jesus said, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And replace it with love. Go to Chick-fil-A, buy them Chick-fil-A card to go get something. That's what happened last night. Doorbell rung. Francis went to the door. Oh, yeah. Come on down. Ralph downstairs. In his office, come on downstairs. And they went downstairs. Francis came around the house. And they come bearing gifts. Three gifts. Gift certificate to the Longhorns. And a couple of beverages. Everything is neutral. You give meaning to it. You use your own what beverage. But we just want you to know we appreciate so much. Our yards have never looked so good. All because we quit, allowed, we neutralized that poison that every day for a year they try to send to us. Hey! Every time I came down here, where all the negatives towards us was, Sharon, the Colonel, and all of you, so kind and sweet to me and Francis, it just overrode the poison. And that's who we focus on. Always focus on the positive, not the negative. Amen. You get anything out of this today?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Let's stand. Amen. It ain't real till you say it's real. And to me in my house, it ain't going to be real. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we're going to overcome it with good. That's why even the School of Positive Thinking last year, I told you, whenever you find yourself won't say a negative, stop it right there and replace it with at least three positives. Override it. Overcome it. Amen. Keith, what we do now?
Dismiss.
Okay. Don't forget the alms. Yep. That's it. Don't forget the alms. And when you go out to eat today and you look around and you see you have beaten a lot of the other religious folks there, be sure to leave a good tip. Amen. God bless you. Hug everybody's neck 3 or 4 times. Amen.